Hear God's word. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow and fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your sons, Zion, against your sons, Greece, and make you like a warrior's sword. Then the Lord will appear over them. His arrow will flash like lightning. The sovereign Lord will sound the trumpet. He will march in the storms of the south. And the Lord Almighty will shield them. They will destroy and overcome with sling stones. They will drink and roar as with wine. They will be full like a bowl used for sprinkling the corners of the altar. The Lord their God will save his people on that day as a shepherd saves his flock. They will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown. How attractive and beautiful they will be. Grain will make the young men thrive, and new wine the young women. Let us pray. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Open ourselves, our hearts and minds to your word for us today, we pray, O Lord, and strengthen us with your word that we may have hope and be prisoners of hope because of what you have done and what you promised to do. Through Christ, amen. We've come to the penultimate book of the Old Testament. I love to use that word, penultimate. It means the next to the last. This book of prophecy, Zechariah, is immediately before the last one in the series of 12 minor prophets. So we have one more week of the minor prophets, Malachi, of course, next. Together with Haggai, which came before last week, and Malachi, which comes next week, Zechariah forms a group of prophecies that was delivered after the exile, that period of history when the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem were carted away to Babylon, and then they were allowed to return to their home. Zechariah is one of the most highly messianic books of the Bible. In order to encourage his people, the Lord looks beyond their immediate circumstances to a time yet to come when all God's enemies will be vanquished, when all God's purposes will be fulfilled, when the whole earth will acknowledge his rightful rule as king. By messianic, of course, I mean referring to the coming Messiah, the anointed one. The Messiah in the Old Testament, the Hebrew language, the Christ in the New Testament, the Greek language. He was promised by God through the prophets. And to give you a few examples of Zechariah's messianic message, he predicted the Messiah's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. That's what we talked to the children about earlier. His betrayal for 30 pieces of silver, the desertion of his followers, the fact that the Messiah would be pierced, and his glorious return to the Mount of Olives. The book of Zechariah is quoted from or alluded to in the New Testament, get this, 71 times. This book of Zechariah, 71 times New Testament writers refer back to it. And it influenced the writing of the book of Revelation, too. As we read Zechariah, the Lord encourages us to complete whatever tasks he has given to us. And beyond that, to kind of see what we do, how we live our lives of discipleship from an eternal perspective. Not just keeping our nose to the grindstone, but taking a step back and looking at things as God does. Because sometimes we grow tired, we get discouraged, like the ancient Israelites did. Obstacles block our path, opponents mock us, and over time we're tempted to give up. During such times, we need a fresh word from the Lord. He gently rebukes us, then offers strong encouragement and genuine hope, but most of all, we get a renewed vision of how our daily tasks can fit into the broader plans of God for this world. How God's purposes are being worked out, even in the little things that occur. If you've grown weary doing God's will, then the book of Zechariah is for you. It's meant to refresh and strengthen us. It was written to the 50,000 or so Jews who had returned to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile. God had called them to rebuild the temple, and initially they went right at it with great vitality and energy, and then they kind of lost their steam and slowed down until the construction of the temple came to a halt. Then God sent the prophet Zechariah, whose name means the Lord remembers, and he was calling the people back to the Lord to the task they needed to complete. It required hopeful determination. In fact, lots and lots of determination. In 1983, Australia hosted its ultra marathon. If you're not familiar with it, it's a race from Sydney to Melbourne, over 573 miles. Not a 26.2 mile run, over 573 miles. It takes days to run. Professionals from all over the world come to participate. And shortly before the race began in 1983, a 61-year-old farmer named Cliff Young, wearing overalls and goulashes over his boots, walked up to the registration and requested a number to enter the race. And the people at the registration table thought it was a joke. Everybody was setting them up, so they thought. And they just laughed him off until Cliff Young said, no, I'd really like to enter the race. I want to run the ultra marathon. So they gave him a number and pinned it to his old overalls, and Cliff Young walked over to the start of the race. Alongside him were all the professional runners in their running regalia, all of them with very sculpted bodies, all decked out. And the crowd snickered and laughed when the gun went off, because all those runners took off like a shot, and Cliff began his stride that was kind of goofy looking and awkward as he began the race. And all through the crowd, the people were laughing. Someone called out, "Get that old fool off the track." 5 days, 14 hours, 4 minutes later, at 1:25 in the morning, Cliff Young was the first to cross the finish line for the ultramarathon in 1983. How had he done it? He didn't win by a matter of minutes or even an hour or two. He was ahead of the second place finisher by 9 hours. By 9 hours. How did that happen? Well, most of the runners, it seems, that would run for about 16, 18 hours, and then they would take a nap. They would rest for 5 or 6 hours. They would get up and run again. Cliff Young never slept. He never slept for 5 days. And they wondered what kind of food he had, what kind of secret energy food he had. He had pumpkin seeds and water, primarily, is what he survived on. They discovered that after running 5 days, 14 hours, and 4 minutes, At the age of 61, Cliff Young was the new champion of the ultramarathon. Now, one of the reasons I tell that story, and I love that story, is that on my last birthday, it all added up to 61. And I like thinking that God isn't finished with me yet. And I think if you want to know what the message of Zechariah to you might be this morning, it is simply that God is not finished with you yet, not by a long stretch. In fact, as I spoke to the children earlier, part of the answer to our discouragement or weariness, I think, is connecting Zechariah's prophecy to the story of Palm Sunday, when the Messiah came, when he was received as King of all, when he was hailed with palm branches. Each year in the month of November, we're reminded to step away from the flurry of activity that characterizes our busy lives so we can do one thing that God asks: give thanks. To give thanks. The people on that Sunday in Jerusalem were so deeply thankful that the Messiah had come, that the prophecy of Zechariah had been fulfilled in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. We should be thankful, too, that Jesus is our King. We should be thankful that Jesus is Lord of all and willing to suffer and die. We should feel both happy and sad because of how that salvation came about, that Jesus was received by so many, but shortly thereafter put to death by evil men. We should feel thankful in this season of thanksgiving. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, King of all creation. And thank you, Zechariah, for telling us that the Messiah would come and for telling us that the Messiah will come again. For we certainly live between those two comings, his first coming to the earth and his second coming in glory. I read recently about two-time Academy Award winner Denzel Washington, who is best known for his roles in Glory, The Preacher's Wife, Remember the Titans, and Training Day. But the Hollywood A-lister over the last year or so has sounded more like a pastor than an actor when he has spoken. He consistently said that he wants to get up and speak about what God has done for him. And at a church banquet exactly 1 year ago, last November, he urged his listeners to live in a constant attitude of gratitude for God's goodness. This is what Washington said: "Give thanks for blessings every day. Every day, embrace gratitude. Encourage others. It is impossible to be grateful and hateful at the same time. I pray that you put your slippers way under your bed at night, so when you wake in the morning, you have to start on your knees to find them. And while you're down there, say thank you. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. Until you change it, you're not going anywhere." With a spirit of thanksgiving, we need to hear the words of Zechariah. Eugene Peterson's introduction to these minor prophets is something I've turned to repeatedly in this series, and I share some of Peterson's words with you now. He says Zechariah shared with his contemporary Haggai the task of getting the people of Judah to rebuild the ruined temple. Their preaching pulled the people out of self-occupation, got them working together as a people of God. But Zechariah did more than that, Peterson said. For the people were faced with more than a ruined temple and city. Their self-identity was in ruins. For a century, they had been knocked around by the world powers, kicked and mocked and used and abused. This once proud people, their glorious sacred history, starred with names like Abraham and Moses and Samuel and David and Isaiah, had been treated with contempt for so long. They were in danger of losing all their connection to their past, losing their identity as God's people. Zechariah, Peterson said, was a major factor in recovering the magnificence from the ruins of a degrading exile. Zechariah reinvigorated their imaginations with his visions and messages. But that isn't the end of it. His visions and messages, so says Eugene Peterson, have acted like time capsules that have gone off periodically for God's people to awaken us and to give us genuine hope. Difficult times won't last forever, nor do those who try to defeat us always have the upper hand. Israel had been humiliated and defeated by her enemies, but in Zechariah 9, the Lord promises to conquer those who had conquered Israel and restore peace to those troubled by war. I think the high point of Zechariah's message comes in verse 16, which says, "The Lord their God will save his people on that day as a shepherd saves his flock. They will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown." Now imagine you're walking down the sidewalk and your eye catches a sparkle of something on the sidewalk that appears to be a diamond. How do you know if it's a real diamond? Easy decision for me. I have a friend who's a jeweler. I'd take it immediately to him and I'd say, "Tell me, is this the real thing?" But I already know that a fake diamond will easily scratch, chip, or break. Diamonds are the hardest material known to mankind. And the only way to cut a diamond is with another diamond. Why do diamonds sparkle so? Well, according to physics, the brilliant sparkle of a diamond occurs from refraction and the total internal reflection of light. The precisely cut surface of the diamond refracts or redirects incoming light until it shines out of every facet of the diamond. Zechariah 9 looks beyond Israel's immediate future to the coming of one who would be the messianic king. When his light shines into our lives, we too begin to sparkle just a bit. Sparkle like jewels in a crown. We are in the midst of difficult times, or we may be feeling defeated, but Zechariah assures us the Lord's presence and his promises are with us and give us hope. The one who is Lord of all wants to extend his lordship to every area of life. I'm convinced that the whole prophecy of Zechariah is best received and best appreciated by simply doing what we're supposed to do in this season of the year. Give thanks. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for his Son, Jesus Christ, and thanks be to God for the prophetic words of Zechariah. Hallelujah. Amen.